Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
Good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
Yes.
If you
were with us last week.
Yeah.
And if you weren't, you can listen on giftofgraceministries.org. We had quite an interesting first show of a series where we basically talked about Christian TV and not being grounded in the faith and not being grounded in the Word. And I think you wanted to follow up with one comment.
Yeah, you mentioned somebody that doesn't believe in the Trinity, that they don't really say it. But if you listen to what they're talking about, and you gave an example, because I said, what do they say? And you gave a pretty interesting example. And the first thing that came to mind was to my mind was the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan.
Yes.
So do you want to explain what they said, or?
Yeah, what he believes. And this was an old heresy too from many centuries ago. It was in those days, it was called modalism, which means the Godhead is not three distinct persons, but there's one God who manifests himself in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes he shows himself as Father. Sometimes he shows himself as Son. Sometimes he shows himself as Holy Spirit.
So basically, when Jesus came to earth, God the Father and the Holy Spirit were void.
That's right.
And then when Jesus ascends, then the Holy Spirit's there. So now,
Father and Son aren't there anymore. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about Jesus being baptized in the Jordan, the Father's voice is heard.
Yeah.
Jesus is there being baptized, and God revealed to John the one who, you know, the Spirit comes to rest upon, he's the anointed one. The Holy Spirit descended as a dove and came to rest upon Jesus. So you have a manifestation of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in one place.
Yes.
All distinct, three distinct persons, three distinct. They're all separate.
I think that might be the only place in the scripture where you have that.
Yeah. So, yeah, and see, this is the thing. When people do not understand, or they have not been educated in church history about these heresies that have taken place over the centuries, because the first thing Satan wants to do is discredit God.
Yes.
And create a counterfeit.
Absolutely.
And he's going to, and he does it with such mastery. That it's still going on today.
Yes.
Because we don't learn. We don't study and we don't learn.
That's why we always say he uses the same strategy he used with Eve because it works.
Because it works. So if we don't understand the church heresy or the heresies that have taken place throughout the centuries, then we're not going to know when somebody else is repackaging it and telling it another lie.
That's right.
You know, so, you know, there's a site called newadvent.org. You want to learn about church heresies, go to it. And you'll find them all there.
Yes.
Everything that the church has dealt with over the past centuries.
Yes.
And how they've been resolved.
And some of them have been huge.
Yeah.
With many, many followers.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, so that's one example of just how people can get lost because they're not grounded. And there's not, and there, you know, we talked about, we got to get back to the basics, a foundation.
Yes.
You know, a solid foundation of what is Christian doctrine.
Yes.
Not from the last 100 years.
That's right.
Not from the last 200 years. Not from the French Revolution.
Right.
But let's go back to the time of Christ.
Yes.
And the foundation of what was preached.
Yes.
What did the disciples preach?
Yes.
You know, the Didache.
Yes.
The teaching of the 12 apostles.
Yes.
It's vitally important in the life of a Christian to know these things.
Yes.
Because if you don't, you're going to go from place to place looking for something and you're going to want to hear you're going to want to hear, and this leads into the passage we were going to read last week.
Which
we never
probably
got to
read next week.
But you're going to want to hear things that excite you.
Yes.
And that sounds good to me, and you become a cafeteria Christian.
That's right.
I don't believe in that. That doesn't sound good to me.
Yeah.
Well, I like that. That sounds nice to me.
And after kind of hinting at the the Trinity guy, and who's, by the way, is on the Trinity Broadcasting Network.
that's rich.
He'll make enough money pretty soon. He'll be able to buy it and call it something else. But, and, you know, the health and wealth people are,
yeah,
you know, word of faith movement people, where there's actually a movement that says you can speak things into existence. So you can speak about your future and that's what will come true. Or you can speak something and that'll be. Or when somebody says something to you, you say, I'm not receiving that word. And when you think about it, and I don't know how to say this politely, but when you think about this, the creation was from God's spoken word.
Yeah.
Let there be light.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah. God spoke the creation into existence.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke and the universe came into existence.
Right.
On all those different levels. And what these people are saying is you actually have that same power. Because now you can speak things into existence. You can say, I'm going to have this great job with tons of money. And that, I know that's what's going to happen. And it's a counterfeit takeoff from God creating by the spoken word.
Yeah. 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 We, you know, wow, that's,
and then there's another group called, One Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Old Testament doesn't matter anymore. Jesus did away with that. And when Jesus was here, he talked to the Jews. So when Jesus said, unless you follow my commandments, you know, and if you love me, you'll follow my commandments, he was talking to the Jews. He's not talking to us. So you can have a very famous Christian preacher saying, we don't have to follow the Ten Commandments. That doesn't apply to us anymore. Now you can say, we don't have to repent of anything because everything's been taken care of.
I think he missed the point part where Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Yeah. Yeah, that still applies today.
Or at your judgment, every idle word will come into account. And sure, you know, are we supposed to be Christians but say, we're not going to listen to anything Jesus said because he wasn't talking to us? You know, after all, we're past that. We're sons and daughters. And, you know, one covenant, you know, well, why learn anything that's in the Old Testament? You know, after all, we can quote 2 Timothy 3:16 that says all scripture is inspired by God. You know, the Holy Spirit breathes out the scripture.
Right.
There's a great Greek phrase, theonoustos, God breathes out the word. But I guess he only meant the New Testament.
But here's an interesting point. If you don't want to listen to what Jesus said because he was just talking to Jewish people, then how can you partake in the covenant that he ratified in his own blood?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was a Passover Seder.
Yes, exactly.
That was for Jewish people.
Well, you see, these are things.
So we're left out of the covenant.
These are things where if you don't know, and you know, the generations after me, because I'm old and Steve's almost old, but the generations that come after us, they haven't been taught a lot of the foundation. And they're certainly not home studying scripture.
You know, by saying that, you made me think of something. A younger friend of mine, who's in college right now, they talk a lot about emotional boundaries and emotional, you know, like having emotional boundaries. And I'm like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? And he was like, well, you know, if you're sharing something with somebody, you don't want to go too deep with them, or you don't want somebody else sharing something too deep with you because you might not be able to handle it. I'm like, you mean like what? Like, well, like an emotional problem that they have, something that's really, you know, heavy. Like I said, well, what's the point in being friends if you can't talk to each other?
Yeah.
And I said, so what is this boundary supposed to do? He goes, well, it's supposed to be like emotional chastity.
Huh?
Yeah. He's like, well, it's about saving your heart for the person you're going to marry. I said, well, how are you going to get to know the person, and how do you know you want to marry them if you don't talk to them? And it's really putting a lot of young people in this emotional prison, because they can't, they feel like they can't talk to anybody because they don't want to burden anybody else with their problems.
Mm-hmm.
it's really, I mean, I'm listening to this going, what in the world are people doing to themselves?
Yeah.
I mean, if you cannot talk to another human being, somebody that you trust, about something that's weighing on your heart, mm-hmm. for fear that they might lose, mm-hmm. you know, their consciousness or mm-hmm. something, or they mm-hmm. just emotionally might, it might be too much for them. Well, by all means, if that's the case, then, you know, just say, you know what, that's really a lot. I really don't know if I can handle that right now. But that's really a selfishness on the part of one person because they don't want to be too involved emotionally in somebody else's life.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, think about, that is not Christianity.
Yes.
That is not bearing one another's burdens.
Yeah.
That is not even close to it.
Yes. And what does the health and wealth gospel lead to? Why should you help your fellow man?
Yeah.
It's all about me.
Exactly.
And you see how, and just like Satan approached Eve, did God really say that?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, yeah, actually, okay, maybe he said it, but that's not what he meant.
Mm-hmm.
What he meant was, he's going to make you rich.
Yeah.
He's going to make you healthy. Why should I waste my money giving it to the homeless shelter or going to work at the soup kitchen when I could be just home getting more money?
Yeah.
It's a distraction. God is the author of life so that we have abortion.
Yeah.
God created male and female. Not only is it mentioned in Genesis, but Jesus says in the beginning he created a male and female. Haven't you read that?
Yeah.
Didn't say, well, you know, there's male and female, but then there's 48 other genders too.
Yeah.
So you just decide. So when the state of New York says when you have a baby and you don't want to assign it a gender based on its biological parts, you can put an X on the birth certificate. If you don't believe it, Google
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So right now you can say, well, you say it's a boy. I don't know. This baby, you can't call it a he, but this baby later may decide that it's really a girl.
Yeah.
So we'll put an X on the birth certificate. They can change it later.
Why bother going to medical school?
Yeah. I recently applied to renew my passport.
Yeah.
And there was this form on this form that had to be filled out. It said something like, if you've had a gender change surgery since your last passport, check here. In other words, if the last time you applied you were Thomas, but now you're Teresa, you have to get a new passport.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what we've come to.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, he created them male and female. Male and female, he made them.
It is complete insanity.
Yes.
It's complete insanity.
Jesus says, haven't you read that a man leaves his father and mother
mm-hmm.
and clings to his wife and the two become one flesh?
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, it's, well, for, I mean, first we had unlimited divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And the church bought that. Most churches have bought that.
Well, even Moses,
you know,
Jesus told them, you know, when Jesus was approached by the Pharisees, well, you know, whose wife is it?
Yes.
Well, Moses wrote a bill of divorce because of the hardness of your hearts.
Yeah.
Not because God wanted it.
Yes.
Yeah.
To a point where I had a breakfast meeting with a couple of very well-known pastors that wanted to get together to do ministry, and they wanted to bring this other guy in, and one of the pastors said, oh, he's been divorced three times. I said, he's been divorced three times? Yeah, he's been divorced three times, like it was no big deal. I said, well, if you've been divorced three times, how can you do ministry? I mean, once maybe you could see, depending on the circumstances.
Yeah.
But three times? I mean, that's...
You don't know how to work in a relationship.
I mean, that's a big red flag. Anyway, but this is what we've come to.
Yeah.
And the churches have bought the divorce thing
mm-hmm.
big time. So when Jesus says, well, you know, if you marry another woman, you commit adultery, and she commits adultery, she marries somebody else, unless there's lewd, immoral conduct involved. I mean, there's a way out of the marriage, but it isn't like, oh, we don't feel like being married anymore.
Right.
Or this isn't really working out, so I'm going over there, you can go over there. And now it's become very, very casual.
Yeah. You just have a disagreement. Oh, that's it. I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah.
And so all these things. So why are all these things happening? definitely demonic, okay? It's, as we've been talking about, it's spiritual warfare. And people are not prepared for battle. And when you go to your church, whatever church you go to, you better listen carefully to what your pastor's saying, your preacher's saying, your priest is saying, whatever you have in your tradition, because all of a sudden now mainline churches are coming out in favor of abortion.
Yeah.
Mainline churches are coming out ordaining gay people. Mainline churches are coming out supporting same-sex marriage. And if you say, well, I guess if, you know, what can you do? I guess if they say it's okay. Well, you got to read God's word. And it tells you what that means.
And you have to find what the church that you're going to, what they actually believe and teaches. Okay, like an example, in Judaism, you can go to I mean, you can go to the Torah, you can find out, you know what Judaism teaches. Catholic Church, you can go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You know what the church teaches. It doesn't matter if somebody on their own says, well, I think we should do this. That's not church teaching. That's that's a heretic. If you go to the source of what the church teaches, that's what should be preached. Now, there's people that are going to be in that denomination. Some of them are going to do whatever they want because they are in the same place as our culture is, as our society is. Their own pride has gotten the best of them. And, you know, I think it brings us to the reading from Second Timothy chapter 4 that we were going to start
we'll do
with.
That last week.
That we were going to start with last
week. At
the
beginning of the show.
So let me read this before we go any further.
Yeah, Second Timothy chapter 4.
And let's start
3
with
through
3 through 5. Well, let me go back to 1 because I think we got to do that. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingly power, proclaim the word, be persistent whether it is convenient or inconvenient, convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but following their own desires and insatiable curiosity, will accumulate teachers and will stop listening to the truth and will be diverted to myths. But you, be self-possessed in all circumstances, put up with hardships, perform the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry.
Now, you probably know Timothy was a young guy who was Paul's, I guess you could say, disciple. Paul was his mentor. Paul calls him my son, Timothy. Wasn't his biological son. Paul was his mentor. And in, I'm blanking out which city. Paul led Timothy to the Lord. Laid hands on him and blessed him. And he became, I don't know what we would call it. And they didn't have, they had different terms in those days, but he became a mature elder in the church at Ephesus. He was kind of the bishop of Ephesus. But he was basically, and you have to remember at this time, there weren't like 100 million Christians. There were a few thousand here, a couple hundred there, a couple thousand there. So Paul writes these two letters to Timothy to show him how to be a pastor when you're spiritually taking care of a flock. He was in charge of the church at Ephesus. And it was good you read those other things. He says, you know, preach the word in season and out of season. So what does that mean? You know, there's times where people don't want to hear it. Well, you got to preach it. There's time where this is going on in the church. Well, you got to preach it. There's time where, you know, brother so-and-so just died and, you know, nobody knows what to do. You can preach the word.
I mean, essentially, because someone sins in the church, that does not nullify the word of God. As Christians, we have to understand that. Because someone sins in the church, that does not nullify the word of God. And, you know, the other thing is that, like, when the disciples followed Jesus, when a rabbi would take on disciples or students, they would go and live with the rabbi. And they would be taught by the rabbi over years. And this is what Paul is doing with Timothy. Timothy is being trained. He's being formed.
Yes.
And this formation is essential in the handing on of the faith.
Yes.
And that's why, you know, formation, you know, that's why when there's seminaries, because you need a lot of formation to be a minister, to be a priest.
Yes.
So that you can actually pour out what's been poured into you and create new life.
Right.
Spiritually.
Right.
Yeah.
And you see there in verse 2, I'm so glad you read the first two verses. And you see that it says, convince, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say you just go along with everything that you hear. It says you rebuke things that you know are wrong.
Reprimand.
Yeah. You convince. You know, you're not just passive. You're basing what's going on a truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Pilate, do you ever think that that day of the crucifixion, Pontius Pilate was more respectful of Jesus than the high priest and all those Sanhedrin people were, who were his people?
Yeah.
Because Pilate says, well, what is truth?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know what kind of inflection he had in his voice. He said, well, what is truth? I mean, he listened to him.
Yeah.
The high priest wouldn't even listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a way that you evaluate what's true. Like the disciples in Berea. If you live in Berea, that's a good job. But like the people in Berea double checked everything Paul said with the scripture to make sure he was teaching the truth.
Yeah.
And he encouraged that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it says you convince and you rebuke and you exhort with long suffering and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
It may take a while. You know, nobody wants to do long suffering anymore, including me.
No.
I want something to be done quick.
Yeah.
But, you know, you need teaching.
Yeah.
But it has to be right teaching.
Yeah.
So Timothy's the pastor of these people, and Paul's telling them, you got to teach your people what the truth is.
Yeah. As you're saying that, I'm thinking about how our culture and how our time on this earth has dramatically changed over the last 100 years or 150 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because some things, truths don't change. It still takes a certain amount of time to foster growth. You know, if you're planting a garden, it takes a certain amount of time for that seed to be planted in the ground, to germinate, to grow, and to reach the maturity that it can produce a harvest.
Yes.
But because in our culture, things are so instantaneous, we want to bypass all that. And this is how we get off track.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I want everything to be utopian now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to suffer.
Yes.
I don't want to have any suffering. And sometimes what people mean by suffering is, I don't want to feel any sadness at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have any thoughts of, oh gosh, well, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, those are normal things.
Yeah.
You might be sad because something happened. You might be unhappy because something happened. You might be joyful because something happened. But those are all parts of, you know, everyday human life. But because we want everything so instantaneously, we want to bypass and short circuit that whole process of learning and growing. And we become an empty shell.
Yes.
And that is not what God has for us. That is not the fulfillment of what Jesus says, life to the full, because life with Christ and the Holy Spirit is abundant joy and abundant fellowship with the whole household and saints of God.
Yeah. We want to hear good things, you know, that make us happy.
And how many times would the prophets of the Old Testament be told that?
Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Destruction's going to come from the north. Everything's going to be destroyed. And the people said, Jeremiah, you're a big poop.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to be destroyed. Tell us some good news, or we'll find a new prophet. You know, we'll find a prophet that's going to tell us something good.
Now, can man pick his own prophet?
Sure.
he can, but it's not God's prophet.
That's right.
And that's where the error comes in.
Because, you know, as Paul points out in this passage, people can't endure sound doctrine.
Yeah.
So when you hear, pick up your cross and follow me, you say, well, that doesn't sound very good to me. Mm-hmm. Is this the music already?
It is.
Oh, I guess we're back at this next week.
Yes.
Well, I hope you had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that as you follow Jesus Christ, that you would be patient in long-suffering, that he may form you and guide you in all truth by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.